morning and praise the Lord and welcome to another beautiful celebratory resurrection day of Jesus Christ. We thank God for this chance and opportunity that he gives us each time to come in to share his word with you in your life, for your life. And we thank God for coming here in the human flesh, living and dying for us, giving us another opportunity and chance to be with him in heaven. We praise the Lord. We thank God again for this time that we are here. We hope that you are listening and tuning in. And we pray that there is something by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God, that is keeping and guiding us and directing us and allowing us to speak to you by his Holy Spirit that would impact, encourage, inspire your life. Amen, amen. And so we want to go right ahead and begin with our prayer this morning and pray for everyone and all the chances and all opportunity that he has given us each time that he allowed us to awake and see a new day. Let us go to the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. I thank you for what you've done, what you're doing right now. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for the bloodshed. Thank you for the pain. Thank you for the suffering you endured for mankind. And personally, that you endured for me. Father, we thank you for every day that you allow us to wake. You touch us with your grace and mercy, with the finger of love, to give us an opportunity to praise you, to lift you up. Father, those that are hearing right now, let them understand that this is not a day because you set aside for commercialism and sales and all that, but this is a day that's important that we should recognize what you have done for us. Not only what you have done and what you continue to do, giving us chance after chance, opportunity after opportunity to give you the glory, to give you the praise, to lift up your holy name. Somehow, people may forget that it's all because of your love, your kindness, your long-suffering, your grace and your mercy that we are here, that we are able to do what we do, not by our own recognizance, not by our own ability, not by our own intelligence. None of those things are the reason that we are able to awake every morning. But it's because of your love. In the midst of all chaos and everything that's happening in the world today, everything that's going on with hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness, rage, retaliation, and all of those things that are causing the stuff of brutality, of death, and all of these things that happen right before our very eyes because of hurt and pain that the people are enduring, have endured, or that they are dealing with right now. But they have to understand, Father, that you have already said that all we need to do is turn to you, call upon you, come to you, give you everything that we are dealing with, all of our problems, all of our situation, all of our sickness, all of the bitterness, hate, and unforgiveness, all of our hurt and all of our pain, and every heavy load in every area of our life, to turn it over to you. Every addiction, every brutality, all of the things that we can't fix ourselves. You're giving us that chance right now. Each day that we're alive, that we're allowed to open our eyes, you give us that chance. You give us that chance to praise you, to lift you up. But somehow, some way in the world today, there are people that forget that they're not running things, that they are not in control, but it's you that is in control, Jesus, that you are in control. We don't have to panic. We don't have to be in despair. All we have to do is trust you, call upon you, and repent of anything in a sinful act or practice in our lives, and that you will forgive us, that we will turn and walk forward to give you the glory, to give you the thanksgiving, and adhere to your commandments, everything would be all right. Not that it would be easy, but it would be all right. Because you'll always be with us. You promised that. You promised that you would be with us even until the end of the earth, of the world, and all things that are going on here, and all the things that shall happen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you right now. Thank you right now. Thank you that I appreciate you for your love and your kindness. I appreciate you for your tender mercy. I appreciate you for your long suffering. I appreciate you for being able to put up with people like us. Sinful nature, hard-hearted, disobedient, stiff-necked. But your love just overwhelmed us anyhow, giving us another opportunity, another chance. Thank you, Jesus. I personally just want to thank you right now. And I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice will make it personal and tell you thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. No matter the hurt and pain, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what the problem and the situation is, thank you. Thank you, Lord, right now. Thank you, Lord, right now. Thank you, Lord, right now. Thank you for everything that you do, everything that you've done, and everything that you're going to do. We give you the glory, Lord. We give you the thanksgiving, Lord. I'm so glad. Oh, yes, I'm so glad. Hallelujah, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad you died for me. I'm so glad that you lived. You came and showed us the kind of love that we need to show each other. I'm so glad. I'm so glad for everything that you do, everything that you're going to do, and everything that you're doing right now. Hallelujah, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your tender mercy. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to give you glory. I just want to give you praise. I just want to give you thanksgiving. Come on, worship him with me today. Come on, give him praise. Come on, give him thanksgiving. Come on, give him his glory right now. Oh, you ought to be glad right now. You ought to be glad right now. Nobody can do like he did. Nobody can do what he done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You shed your blood for me. You've given me another chance. You've given us another chance. You're giving us an opportunity right now. Woo, we're talking about sweet Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Thank you right now. Thank you, Lord. I'm just giving him glory right now. And I wish you would do that with me. Just give him glory right now for a moment here. Give him some glory right now. Won't you look over your life? Why don't you look over your life and look where he brought you from? No matter if you're saved or unsaved, you still got an opportunity. Look over your life right now. Look where you are. And it's him that's allowing you to be here. It's his death. It's his death. His death, his burial, his resurrection that has given us and has given us the chance right now. No matter what you're going through, no matter how bad it is, you still have a chance. You still have a chance. You still have a chance right now. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. It's power in the name of Jesus. It's healing in the name of Jesus. It's salvation in the name of Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Woo, Lord, have mercy. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. All the pain. Being pierced in your side. Blood came streaming down. Blood and water streaming down. Out of your body. Crown of thorns on your head. Lord Jesus. Nails pin you to the cross. The cross. The cross, the thing that was prophesied that you would be the wonderful counselor that would come and carry the weight of the world of sin on your shoulder, the cross. That you bear the weight of sin of everybody, that we might be able to have an opportunity, a chance to eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody can do that like you. Nobody could have done it but you, Jesus. Thank you right now. That precious name, that powerful name. Lord, have mercy. Jesus. There's no other name. There's no other name. There's no other name.
No.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Woo, yeah. Ain't nobody like Jesus. Ain't nobody like Jesus. Come on, glorify him today. Come on, lift him up today. Ain't nobody like Jesus, y'all. Ain't nobody like him. Nobody like him. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, have
yes,
mercy. Jesus. Good God Almighty. Look at the blood and the sweat and the tears that he died for us. Good God Almighty. All of mankind. In spite of my wrong, in spite of my disobedient hard-hearted, you still love me. You still love us. Thank you, Jesus. Look at a mighty God, an almighty God. Good God Almighty, Lord, have mercy,
hey,
Jesus.
Glory.
Thank you,
Hallelujah,
Jesus.
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing like the name of Jesus. Nothing like the power of Jesus. Nothing like the love of Jesus. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Ooh, I can't help but give him praise. Good God Almighty. Tears and water will be streaming down your face because of the pain that he endured for you and I. Good God Almighty. Lord, have mercy. Ain't nobody like Jesus. Ain't nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. At his name, one day every knee shall bow. Every knee gonna have to bow. And confess that Jesus is the Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Good God Almighty. Woo, Lord have mercy. Good Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love, Jesus. Thank you for your kindness. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Jesus is the reason that we are here. Jesus is the reason that we live. Jesus is the reason that we have the activity of our limbs. Jesus is the reason that we have the breath of life that we're breathing in these bodies today. Jesus is today. Jesus is. Today is about death, burial, and resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection. There's no other name. There's no other power. There's no one else like him. There's no one that can do what he has done. No one can do what he's doing. And no one has the power like he has. Today we're talking about, in reference to, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Today we want to remind you about the death of Jesus. The death of Jesus. And we want to remind you in a sense that what he done for mankind. What he done for mankind and what he went through for mankind. And when we make it personal, what he done for me. what he done for me and what he's doing right now. And you ought to be thankful. Every individual, every person, every human being all over the world should be giving him glory right now. Everyone should be stopping all of the things that they got planned, prepared for, and giving him the glory right now. And let's don't stop when you leave the church house. Let's don't stop when we leave this radio station. Let's don't stop wherever you are to give him the glory, to give him the thanksgiving, to give him the praise. He's the one that did it. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here. We couldn't be here. We couldn't be here. Various scriptures I want to touch on today in the death of Jesus. First, we want to begin with Mark in chapter 15. We want to begin at where he died. Jesus dies on the cross. I want to begin reading scripture to you today in 15 and 33 in Mark. In the book of Mark, chapter 15, verse 33. And the Holy Scriptures in the Bible reads, it says, well, now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knows that he came to live and die for all of us, to give us a chance at eternal life. We thank him. We thank him. We give him glory right now. We give him praise. We thank him, and we give him glory, we give him praise. And we magnify his holy name. And so it reads as some of those who stood by when they heard that said, look, he is calling for Elijah. Then someone ran and filled a sponge of sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink, and saying, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn into two from the top to the bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Les, and Hoses, and Solomon, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. But today I'm letting you know that Jesus, the pain that he died, that he went through for us, what he done for us, what he did for us, what he endured for us, what he put up with for us, what he withstood for us. He didn't have to do that. Didn't have to do that at all. And Jesus being buried here in the 42nd verse here in 42 in Mark. Now when the evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead. And summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he bought fine linen to him, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen. And he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph observed where he was laid. Now in the 16th chapter of Mark is where he was risen. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in long white robe on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Hallelujah. In the ninth verse here, where Mary sees him, Mary Magdalene sees the risen Lord, hallelujah. A woman seeing him first, Mary Magdalene. And when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. Let me pause a moment. This is the problem we have today. When we talk about the resurrection, the risen Jesus, that's still alive and well. There are some people in the world right now still won't believe, no matter what you tell them. But eventually, in the end, somebody is going to believe. Everybody is going to believe. Everybody is going to understand that they're going to confess that Jesus is the Lord, whether you believe it now or not. I'm going to read on because Jesus appears to the two disciples. After that, he appeared in another form to two of the men as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. They still didn't believe. Just like ministering and preaching to you today, the word of God, even then, sometimes people still don't believe. Don't believe when you tell them that they need to turn from their wicked way. That they need to know that Jesus has died to give them a free will choice. A free will choice. To be able to choose. To choose. Whether they want to be with him or not. Whether they want to be with Jesus or not. Hallelujah. Whether they want to understand that he is the one that we must pay attention and look forward to in our lives. But for some reason or another, people still, in this day that we go through all of these things over and over again, time after time, over and over, that people still, right today, don't trust, don't believe Jesus. Don't believe Jesus. Hallelujah. But Jesus had already let us know that he had prophesied a long time ago about his death. He talks about it in Luke chapter 9 and verse 21, where he predicts his death and resurrection. He strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." Be raised on the third day. Be raised on the third day. And he goes on to tell them, as he began and to commission them to let him go, let them know. Then he said in the 23rd verse, he said, "Take up the cross and follow him." And then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." The kingdom. The kingdom, you all. Jesus paid a penalty, a price for you and I to live and to have a choice at eternal life. But you must understand that Jesus is giving us a second chance. He's giving us a second chance. When are we going to realize that the opportunity that we have because of his death is giving us a new chance, a new start. A new chance and a new start. To be able to live with him someday. But it's up to us if we desire to be with him. If we desire to trust him. If we desire to lean on him, if we desire to look to him for all things that have come by his word. The death of Jesus. The death of Jesus wasn't just some symbolism of what we are expressing today, of some just rendition of just routine thing to go through. This is serious business here. This is serious business that we might turn to him. Turn to him because he died that we might be freed from sin. That we don't have to go through and be tormented forever. That we can live and understand that he is who he say he is. Jesus is what he said. Jesus is who he said he is. And Jesus will always be what he says. But I'm here to remind you today, of this resurrection, of the pain that he went through for us. All of the piercing of his body, all of the blood that came streaming down, the brutality, the lies. All of the things that he went through so that we might have a choice to eternal life. And then we feel like here that we have done enough. We haven't done anything. But here in Luke, he says here, again, with the king on the cross. In the book of Luke, we're looking at chapter 23. Hallelujah. And verse 26. And it says again, like Matthew, now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountain, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? King on the cross. There were also two other criminals with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. They don't know what they're doing. And they divided his garments. Look at what he went through. All of this, and even as he died, they're taking things from him to sell, to make a mockery of him. But in the same time, out of all of what's being done, he's dying for the same people that is going against him. His death is for the same people that's taking his garments here, as it reads here. And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. Making a mockery and fun of him. But look at Jesus. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. For they do not know what they do. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Hallelujah. And look at what they did to him in the 36th verse. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Save yourself. Lord have mercy. Save yourself. And then they began to go further. In the 39th verse here. Hallelujah. He said, save yourself. Let me read 38 before I go there. And an inscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. And 39 says, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. And us. You say, why am I reading all of this? Because some of you don't even know the story of this, the whole conclusion, the whole matter of this, the whole meaning of this. And my purpose for telling you this is to show you what he went through for mankind. Look at what he went through. We're talking about a God. Let me say this right here. We're talking about a God that came in human flesh, born by the Spirit through a virgin woman, raised up before men, walked with men, experienced the hurt and pain just as you and I are experiencing. Experienced the lies and deception and ridicule just like believers experience when they believe Jesus. Went through all of the hurt and pain, understands temptation. knows what it means when the devil will try you, knows what it means when you're hurt and wounded, knows what it means when your own loved ones will turn against you, knows what it means when the people that walk with you, the disciples, even though he still knew them because they didn't understand, walked with him and he talked with them and was teaching them, and yet they didn't understand at some point. And even at some point, they didn't even believe. I read it to you earlier in Mark that they did. Even after hearing this, these were the disciples that Mary Magdalene went back to tell. And even because they heard it, they wouldn't believe it by hearing it. After all, he had spoken to them what would happen in his coming and why he came to live and die for mankind, for the likes of you and I. And just as we have today, people are so wrapped up into the pleasures and the lifestyles and the livingness of the world that when it comes to Jesus, he is the last thing to put on their agenda, except for if they're attending church on Sunday. But that's the last thing. See, it's not putting him first. See, putting him first is every morning, every day of your life, every hour, every minute that you speak to him, that you give him glory, that you give him thanksgiving, that you think about like this day that he died and the pain and the ridicule and all of the things that he went through for you and I want you to understand, we're talking about a God here. We're talking about a God of spirit that came by spirit in our human flesh and walked and lived to experience the same pain and ridicule that you and I experience every day, and yet was willing to give his life for you and I, and gave his life for you and I, that we might have an opportunity to choose. An opportunity to choose. To choose at the end of the days of our life where we want to be. To choose at the end of the days of our life. Rest assured, every human being, every person, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every child that has been created in this world, one day, yes, Lord, one day we're going to have to die. One day we're going to leave here. We don't know what that's going to be. We don't know what's going to take us out of here. We don't know if it's disease. We don't know if it's storms. We don't know if it's divers or wars and all of those. We don't know what it's going to be. But all of us, every person, every individual, if you haven't thought about it, think about it. We're going to leave here someday. We're going to leave here someday. And Jesus had prepared a place for those that believe, that will trust, that will repent and turn to him. Turn to him. Turn to him. Turn to him. To turn to him. Hallelujah. Turn to him. Turn to him. The road to Emmaus. Skipping over some while Jesus dies on the cross, and he goes on. And he goes on to rise, to raise up on that third day. He said, now behold, the two of them were traveling the same day to the village of Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days? In these days. Hallelujah. And he said to them, what things? And so they said to him, the things concerning the Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet in mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes. And certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. Hallelujah. 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 And then he says, the scriptures was opened. I'm going to skip down to verse 44 here. We're looking in Luke, if you have not been with me, in Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. Hallelujah. Let me back up to 40, please. He says, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. This is where he appeared to the disciples. But while they still did not believe for joy and marvel, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. Here Jesus proving that he was real and he was alive. Because he asked them, why were they troubled in their hearts? And why do they doubts? And why do doubts arise in their hearts? Because he let them know. He said, behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bone as you see I have. This is where he appeared to them. Hallelujah. Because they wouldn't believe him at first. And so then, after all of that, he said, so he gave them a piece, so they gave him the fish and everything, as I read. And in 44, the scriptures were open here. Then he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. When he was already here with them, that he was trying to tell them that this was going to happen. Huh? That all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And this is where he opened their understanding. This is where a lot of people get confused when it comes to baptism and everything, and understanding John baptism and understanding the real baptism in Acts 2:38, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is where they get lost at, because Jesus let them know, he even told the disciples, John just merely baptized unto repentance. So that was just setting the stage for me to die and rise again. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit can't come to you unless I leave and send it back to you. Hallelujah. So here he said, and he said to them, these are the things which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written. Here it is, brothers and sisters, that it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. 47. That repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In his name. What was his name? Jesus. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is not a name. Repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send, here it is, behold, I send the promise to my Father upon you, talking to the disciples. But he says, wait. He said, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high, until the Holy Ghost comes. And that's where the day of Pentecost stepped in, that they were waiting for the Spirit to fall upon them, that they might be able to understand the scripture and have the power to be healed and move forward to live for Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's get the Bible right. Hallelujah.
And so here in the Bible should be preaching repentance and remission of sin to all nations. We're worrying about prosperity, worrying about all of this other stuff. Remission, repentance, and remission of sin should be preached.
It's why you hear me talk about repentance all the time, because that's what the Bible proclaims.
Repent. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.
Why beginning at Jerusalem? Because that's where it all started. Beginning at Jerusalem.
And he told the disciples, he said, "Behold, I will send the promise to my father upon you."
He said, "But wait, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Good God Almighty. That's the book right there. The ascensions of this in the 50th verse, he says, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hand and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. You hear that right there?
You see, repentance and remission of sin have to be preached. Repentance and remission of sin. You can't understand prosperity and all of that without understanding this first. Matthew said it in 6:33, that we should seek the kingdom of God first. Seek it first. Seek that first. The human race got it backwards. They're looking for stuff instead of looking for Jesus. Jesus is the one should be the pinnacle at the high priority of our lives. Here, people stand spending time on careers, money, and all kinds of pleasures and all that, and the world is going to sour because of vengeance and hate and bitterness and unforgiveness, because they're not following after the things that Jesus spoke. That's why. He even told them in Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about what they eat and all that kind of stuff. Therefore, 6:31, let me read it down for you. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things, and all these things shall be added to you." Shall be added to you. So he said, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Tomorrow is going to take care of itself. Tomorrow will take care of itself. But repentance. See, after he rose on the third day, and he commissioned his disciples, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance. Repentance and remission of sins. Repentance and remission of sins. We'll jump over to the book of Acts right quick. We're going to show you. In the book of Acts, chapter 2. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, quickly, you will see it's Bible. We have to follow after the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. And so here it says, see, chapter 2 began with the coming of the Holy Spirit.
when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all on one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them like divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, if I move down to verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brother, what shall we do? What shall we do? And he says, then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Will call. And you want to know, after this, when the people did this, there were thousands added to the church. That's how the church will grow. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000 souls were added, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, in prayers. That's the book. That's what the death, burial, and resurrection day is all about today, that he lives and that we might live with him. But we're going to have to follow the guideline according to scripture in order to do so. And if anybody is not preaching this, we're talking about Bible. They're not preaching the gospel. This is the gospel, the full gospel, what Jesus declared to the disciples, to the apostles, to preach his word, repentance and remission of sin. We bless the name of the Lord. We want to pray and close out here. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Most of all, thank you for opening up our understanding. Our understanding that we might receive your word, be receptive of your word. That whatever we've been lacking in our years and days of past, that we adhere just like the disciples, that we allow your Holy Spirit to come, your word to open up our understanding. Ministers, pastors, bishops, missionaries, congregation, friends, family, leaders, people everywhere all over the world need to understand. We need to be on one accord when it comes to God's word. One accord when it comes to God's spirit. One accord when it comes to God's command. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Bless us by your Holy Spirit. Give us knowledge and understanding, those that may misunderstand and don't get it, in revelation to realize that this is your holy word and that you died for all of us. You rose the third day so that we might be able to live with you. That they gave us the free will choice to choose ye this day whom we shall serve. God, Jesus, or mammon. We thank you. We praise you forevermore in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Selah.
You've been listening to the broadcast of Focus to Change Ministries. Please tune in next Sunday, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock a.m. And remember, There is no greater love than the love of Jesus. And also, if you make the choice, Jesus will make that change. God bless you.